would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father in heaven, I want to thank you for how you've blessed our service so abundantly. And I just ask that you now would take the message you gave me and make it concise, but hit home for all of us. That we would know how to please you and honor you. Use me now to this end in spite of me, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Ivan the Great was the Tsar of all of Russia during the 15th century. He brought together the warring tribes into one vast empire, the Soviet Union. As a fighting man, he was courageous. As a general, he was brilliant. He drove out the Tartars and established peace across the nation. However, Ivan was so busy waging campaigns that he did not have a family. And finally, his close and trusted advisors and friends came to him and said, "You must get a wife." And he said, "I don't have time for that. But if you look, I'll take a wife." And so the advisors were dispatched across the capitals of Europe, and they discovered a beautiful princess of the king of Greece. And when they came and made the announcement to Ivan the Great, he said, "I'll marry her." And when the message got back to the king of Greece, he said, "Hallelujah. But there's one problem, and that is he must be a member of the Greek Orthodox Church in order to marry my daughter." And so Ivan said, "I'll do that." And so they immediately dispatched priests to Russia to train and educate Ivan. And when the education time was over, him and 500 of his troops marched down to Greece for the great event of the baptism that had to take place before the wedding. And when they arrived there, the 500 crack trusted soldiers who accompanied as bodyguard Ivan the Great decided they too wanted to be baptized. And so they set the date. All of Greece came to see this event. 500 priests in their black robes and their tall black hat. 500 crack soldiers of Ivan the Great with all their regalia, their swords and so forth. And just when they entered the water, they suddenly realized something very important. And that is the church prohibited professional soldiers from being members. They would have to give up their commitment to bloodshed. They could not be killers and church members too. But after a hasty round of diplomacy, the problem was solved quite simply. And as the words were spoken and the priests began to baptize the soldiers one after another, each soldier reached to his side and he drew out his sword and he lifted it high over his head, and every soldier was totally immersed, everything baptized except his fighting arm and sword. And it became known as the unbaptized arm. This is a true historical fact. And by the way, I checked it on the internet and found out it isn't. But I wonder how many unbaptized arms there are here today. I wonder how many unbaptized wills are in our congregation today. I wonder how many unbaptized talents exist in our congregation today. Unbaptized checkbooks. Unbaptized social activities. How many are there here this morning who have unbaptized something as if that's acceptable to God? So what do we do now? I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to John the 3rd chapter, verse 1 through 5. Everyone, open your Bibles. I ask the children, open your Bibles to John the 3rd chapter. We're going to read 5 verses, and I want you to hear what Jesus said to the head elder of Israel. John, the 3rd chapter, verse 1 through 5. And we will find out what do we do now. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man could do these signs that you do unless God be with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." Because of the commitment of our baptismal candidates who are now members of our church, Robert and Wendy and Sarah and Henry, I want to point out verse 3. It clearly states, unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of heaven. By the way, who was Nicodemus talking to? Who? Jesus, the Savior. And what did he call Jesus? A teacher come from God. Sitting right in front of him is the Messiah. And he, at this point, a member of the church and a preeminent leader in the community as well as the church, could not recognize Christ as the Messiah and called him a teacher. But Jesus loved him so dearly, in verse 5, he told Nicodemus what needed to take place. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't do it. By the way, the thief on the cross was never baptized, but he made it into the kingdom. But I'm going to ask everybody here to be honest with me. If they, for some reason, let him off the cross before he died, what's the very first thing he would have done? Come on. He'd have got baptized. Just like that. But he couldn't. And so he didn't. But what about you? There's two people here today. Those who have been baptized, but perhaps you've had a sword in your hand, and it was lifted above the water when the rest of you went in. And the others are those who have not been baptized yet. And by the way, if you wonder, where do I get this baptism thing? It says born of water and the Spirit. Do you know one time I actually had someone who really caught me by surprise when I was explaining this to them. They said being born of water means that you must be born of your mother. Now, come on, what's in the sack? Water. Yeah. But that is not what Jesus was talking about. Because it just so happens there's no one in this room who wasn't born of water. But at the Jordan River, something very extremely unusual was taking place. There was a man there, highly respected by the whole community, who were baptizing members of the church, including Jesus Christ. Not because he needed it, because he was an example. And so we know exactly what he's talking about here. Jesus is telling Nicodemus, unless you publicly show the change that's taken into your life and receive the Holy Spirit. By the way, if we had the time, we'd look at Matthew and we'd read about the baptism of Jesus. And when Jesus came up out of the water, what does it say happened to him? He received the Holy Spirit. Now, wait a minute. Didn't Jesus have the Holy Spirit before his baptism? So there's only one conclusion to arrive at, and that is when you're baptized, you receive an additional portion of the Holy Spirit to now help you be what your proclamation commitment is going to be like now. In fact, remember, he didn't start his public ministry till he was baptized, and then he started his public ministry. So Henri and Sarah and Robert and Wendy and our Bible Bowl team, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot not only see, but you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. So our job is to baptize people, not for numbers, because Jesus said when he was leaving, the last thing he said was, make disciples, teach them, then baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's what we've got to be about. We've got to be about bringing the truth to people through Scripture so they can make decisions and be baptized. In fact, let's go one step deeper. Take a look at Romans 6. This is where Marlon read the Scripture. And by the way, I'm almost done. And look what it says here. I want to put John 3, verse 5, and Romans 6 together. We got Jesus Himself, the Messiah, saying, unless you're born of water and the Spirit. And we got now the preeminent New Testament scholar, theologian, Paul, is now going to tell us the meaning of baptism and why it is necessary. Or do you not know that as many of us, this is Romans 6, verse 3, as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into what? His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. And so what do we have here? First of all, being born again of the water and the Spirit. It is a representation of dying like Jesus did. Folks, He gave His entire life to the Father's will. Now, I know it was His will too, but when He came in human flesh, He gave up all His rights to authority and all the ability to use His power unless the Father did it through Him. And so we die just like Christ died to Himself. And then we are buried with Christ like He was in the tomb. And hallelujah, we are resurrected from the watery grave. We come up out of the water into newness of life. The Holy Spirit descends, giving His power to act, think, talk like a Christian. And by the way, don't miss this. It includes the power to say you're sorry when you don't think, act, or say like a Christian. Hopefully sooner than later. And so you must be born again. At this church, we've got to be about the business of teaching people the Bible so they can be committed to Christ, and the Spirit will say to them, get baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch said, there's water. What keeps me from being baptized? And so Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. We need to be baptizing people. The only way we can baptize people if we train them. And the only way we train them if we spend time with them. Because Jesus said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Folks, if we had the time, which we don't, and I won't take it, I want you to remember who he was talking to. He was talking to Larry Pedro Delisle. No, I mean the head elder of Israel. The person you would think would know this stuff. In fact, if you read the rest of the chapter, Jesus at one point gets a little sarcastic, except he never got sarcastic, so that's a bad way to describe it, but to me it makes sense. He says, you're a teacher of Israel and you don't know this? Did you read this? Yeah. He said that. He said it because he wanted Nicodemus to catch more of the meaning of what he was saying, because he was so far off from the training the world had given him. And I don't want that to happen to me or to you or to anyone. Folks, we've got to be baptizing people. So, what do we do now? I'm going to tell you, Wendy. I'm going to tell you, Sarah. I'm going to tell you, Robert. I'm going to tell you, Henri. And I'm going to tell you, Bible Bowls. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to read your Bible every single day. You're going to pray every day. And you are going to read the Spirit of Prophecy every day. And you're going to attend prayer meeting, Sabbath school, and church every week. Why? Because I'm bossing you around and I'm trying to control your life? No. This is what protects what you had when you went under. Did you see Henri? Did you hear him? In fact, he went like this. He walked out and I could still hear him talking back there. I mean, that guy flew out of the water. I don't want him to lose that joy. I don't want him to lose that excitement. I don't want him to lose that commitment. And folks, let's be honest. I don't want him to run into me when I lose my temper and cause him to start to wonder, did I make a mistake? And the only way to protect from that is to read our Bibles every day, to pray every day, to read the Spirit of Prophecy every day, to attend prayer meeting, Sabbath school, church every week, and give a Bible study or attend one. Nothing will help your spiritual growth than when you teach someone else. And please, don't waste your time looking at me and saying, that's not my talent. Because I don't buy that. You may not have hospitality. You may not have discernment. You may not have healing. You may not have the gift of tongues. You may not. But everybody should be teaching somebody the Bible. Because it doesn't take any special talent to care about the welfare of someone else's eternal life. Now, Yesenia Cook, are you here? Yesenia, you're not here. Yesenia, can you come up, please? I want you to meet my Bible study. But it hasn't started yet because she's a woman and I'm a man. And we never study alone. Come on, Yesenia. Yesenia? You want a Bible study, right?
Yes.
Why?
Because I want to get baptized again.
Well, you were an Adventist.
Yeah. I went to Seventh Adventist School from first to eighth grade, and I was baptized in June 13th before I went to high school. And then I never went to church again until I came back to Paradise.
Amen.
The Lord is speaking to you. Man, she told Pastor Julio and I her testimony. It's incredible. Here's the problem. And her little son, Eli.
Wave, Eli. You can come up here with Mommy. Come on, buddy. Because this woman is a single mom, is going to school at nights and working during the days, I can only study with her on Tuesday morning. I need a woman from this church who will commit to joining me on Tuesday morning to study with Yesenia so she can be baptized. So I want somebody to talk to me after church. We can get started right away on Tuesday if I have somebody to do it. Pastor Julio has so many Bible studies, he does not have time for her. And I mean, that's a fact. So here's a chance. If you've never studied the Bible with anybody, then come and you can be with me the first 5-6 lessons, and then I'll turn it over to you and we'll find you a partner and you can do it and I'll move on to the next one. So how many of you are going to pray for Yesenia and for little Levi here so that you can join our family too? Okay? God bless. Thank you for doing this. Oh, I didn't. I want to show you that. Studying the Bible together. We need little groups popping up all over where you come together for the purpose, not to jawbone and not to make each other feel good, but to study the Bible. And then invite your friends to come and study too. And may God bless us as He puts this burden on our hearts, this challenge in our lap, that we will figure out how we fit in. Because, you know, you're a single mom and have three kids, it's hard to get away and have a Bible study. But maybe you could study the Bible with your children or the neighbor's children or whatever. But let's all pray, how can I apply this principle besides coming to prayer meeting and to Sabbath school and church? We can all do that. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the challenge of the hour. I pray that each person will feel a tug on the heart. And Lord, I also felt that there was someone in here. Pastor Julio started a call. And I interrupted him to tell him that, to tell them I'm going to have a call. I just remembered I forgot to tell everybody. I'm going to have a call. He thought I was kicking him off the stage and he got out of the water. But Lord, I want to know if somebody is seated here today that will come up right now and say, I want to be baptized. Or they'll raise their hand from where they sit because I'm tired of Satan causing people to be so frightened about coming forward that they don't do it at all. But if there's someone with courage right now who wants to be baptized, come on up and join me. And if not, then raise your hand from where you sit. I see a hand right there. I see two hands right there. I see two more hands right there. And Hadassah, we already got you, sweetheart. I see another hand back there. Johnny? Oh, man, cool. And we got another. Johnny, is that your brother there? Right? Yeah, I forgot your name, though. I've got to get your name before you guys leave. Look at all the hands. Elder Larry, look at all the hands. So when we're done with the closing hymn and prayer, I need you all to come up here so I can get your names written down, okay? And I know God will bless in a mighty way.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.